With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wake up in the morning feeling like...
Waterman is extremely well. She's very slippery.
You don't own me.
Okay, now the tough question.
Is this a try? Yes or no?
Just because I'm... a woman.
I'm Nolly Waterman.
I'm Laura Jane Jones.
And this, my friends, is the Try Hard Podcast.
Right, it's definitely recording. Oh, do you think we should just tell the listeners what just happened?
Yep, own up.
Well, we've just recorded the first 10 minutes of the podcast. It was really good and interesting. But you'll never hear it because it wasn't recording.
So, can you just not only apologise to me, but apologise to everyone else, please?
Sorry, everyone at home. That was possibly the best 10 minutes that we'd ever done. But you'll never know.
Anyway,
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. Tellington is a little bit damp and drizzly. Yeah. Winter is on its way.
Yeah, I know. Do you know, I bought a new jumper this week. Or this
Did
weekend.
You?
Yeah, there's H&M are doing a link up with Pringle. So I bought...
Oh, yeah, I saw that in the... and you love a bit of, like, sporting kind of themed clothing,
it's not
don't
athleisure.
You?
It's very kind of tradish, Argyle-looking knitwears.
It's got diamonds on it.
Yeah, that's what Argyle means.
Right.
They do have, or I've seen that they do a dog jumper of one of the human jumpers. So I've bought the human jumper. They didn't have the dog jumper. But if any of our listeners do happen upon it, Peggy is probably a medium to large breed, and I would love for me and her to match. So...
I thought you meant it was for Koya, and I was like, no, you are not buying my dog clothes.
Hey, Koya isn't like wearing a collar, let alone a jumper.
She's a naked lady.
She would be a naturist if she was a human.
No, she loves it. Talking about shopping, actually, I was in French Connection today. They have kindly provided me with some outfits for this season.
Oh, lovely.
I know, and...
Have you got one of those t-shirts that says FC UK across the front?
No, because I didn't time-lapse myself back to 2002. Time-lapse, is that the right word?
Teleport? I don't know. Did you have one of those tops back in the day?
Yeah, I did. I had a very tight white one with just a very small... I've stuck with white theme of t-shirts, although I didn't this time round. I took Michelle and she was epic. She's like, I mean, the lady in the shop helped a bit, but Michelle was just next level. I've even got a leather dress.
Oh yes,
you wait. Watch out, world.
Do you know
Nolly, the style icon will be coming to the TV screens this season
in her leather dress. I'm going to tell you, just this is a like cautionary tale. So I've got a grey leather dress that I wear quite a lot to the office because I just think it's like so stern. And I wear it with black tights and a black polo neck. That is a very standard outfit for me. But if I wear it to work, I put my tights, like have my shower and everything, dry my hair, put my tights and my polo neck on, then I curl my hair and do my makeup, but I don't put the dress on because it's obviously quite warm, and when you're curling your hair...
Especially like, in a polo neck.
Exactly. So, during the Six Nations, do my standard, like, normal morning routine, I'm wearing the outfit, get my bag together, put my coat on, get in the lift, and whip my phone out to take a cheeky lift selfie, realise I hadn't actually put the dress on. I was like going to work in my top and tights, and I just put my coat over the top. And
oh, if, why did you notice?
If I wasn't that vain, I literally, like, I played it out in my mind so many times. I would have ended up walking into the BBC Wales office, taking my coat off and hanging it on the coat stand, and walking probably another 15 metres to where I normally sit, like some sort of like dancer in my polo neck and tights.
Are you straight from the stage of Cats?
Yeah, literally. And I think about it all the time. I just think, what on earth would have happened that day? Or even the coat I put on, what if it had been a coat that I'd done up? Because I wouldn't have noticed then either.
Would you have sat in your coat all day? Or would you have gone home?
It was before I changed my car, so let's be honest, there were probably about 8 different outfits in the boot of that. Just excuse me whilst I go for a quick outfit change.
Well, I'm going to do a segue. Talking about cold weather, there was some rugby being played in the sunshine this weekend.
In Glendale, Colorado, the HSBC World 7 Series returns.
I feel like we should start with this, considering we finished with it last week. And
did all of our predictions come true?
No, if we'd been doing match point on the 7 Series, oh, maybe we can contact them about that. That would be good. Although, very difficult to predict. The Black Ferns lost. Yeah. They lost their captain, injured.
Hope she's okay, Bezzy.
You're Bezzy. Yeah, and they lost to America 19-17.
And then America obviously went to win the overall thing. It's only the second time that a team has won their home tournament on the Women's World Series. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Australia did it in 2018, and now America have done it this year. But it's only the second time it's ever happened.
It's amazing, isn't it? Because I remember when I played over in Canada at Langford. I was going to say Langport. No, that's where my mum went to uni. Langport's near Bristol. Anyway, Canada butchered it for a good couple of seasons. And it was really strange because it was completely against their form. So obviously a bit of a psychological thing. And actually, Chris Brown last year spoke about the fact that they were really terrible on day one. Can you remember? And he spoke about in an interview how he got the psychologist to come in and talk to them about pressure and dealing with pressure. And then they came back and played quite well in day two. I don't know how. Yeah, I don't know where they came, actually. Anyway,
Chris Brown very much strikes me as being that kind of softly, softly, catchy monkey kind of man manager type of coach.
What did you say? Catchy monkey.
That's a very common phrase, Nolly.
Well, I've never heard it.
What, softly, softly, catchy monkey?
No, I think you're making it up.
100% I'm not making that up.
You definitely are.
Oh my God, this is so many listeners are going to be like, oh, does Nolly live under a rock that she's never heard that saying?
Or does she put out a fishing rod and get big bites from
No, you're just saying that now because you're embarrassed that you don't know how to softly, softly catch your monkey.
No, I wanted you to get aggressive, but you didn't. But I still got a good old nibble. Anyway, I think he's brilliant. And it was quite fun catching up with him at the last leg of the series last year. Or last season. How about I say last? Lots of times. And he talked about the main priority for them was consistency because they were winning games and only just beating some of the lower level teams. But also about their game understanding because a lot of them are in the grand scheme of players on the series and in particular New Zealand and England, really new to the game and they've come from lots of different sports. And actually, I think a little hat tip needs to go to Emily Bidewell, who's the head of performance for USA Rugby Women. And she has recruited one hell of an assistant coach, Warren Abraham.
Oh, yeah.
He is assistant. Well, yeah. It's getting late. He is an ex-South African sevens player himself. worked at Harlequins and where I actually met him. And he ran the academy there and worked on skills and that type of thing, and then kind of has stayed within Sevens. And he was with England Sevens for a few years, did loads of stuff with the men and women. They spoke really highly of him. And yeah, he's gone over to America and is clearly getting on well with the head coach.
So, well, if their aim was consistency, they've certainly achieved that because they've technically won back-to-back tournaments. They had a good showing at the Pan Am Games in the summer as well. So they've got to be pretty happy with where they are and starting the series like that. Is there ever a concern of peaking too soon when, let's be honest, the ultimate prize this season is Tokyo and an Olympic gold medal at the end? And if you're an American, let's be honest, that's what American sport cares about. They care so much about Olympic sports in America.
I think most nations do, to be honest.
Different level.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think what would be cool to see is how each team approach each tournament and whether they I don't think that they'll be picking front runners all of the time. If people have got niggles or they want to rest players, because if you don't go to a tournament, the value of doing a training block v playing is very different at different times in the season. And so they'll be working really hard with the strength and conditioning coaches to make sure that they are, because you can't just come up and then hold an incredible standard throughout the year. You have to peak and trough, and there'll be selection calls around that. I don't think that what I've kind of heard from the England camp that they were like fully cooked coming into this from a rugby perspective. I know they've been working really hard on their pre-season, and if you've been working really hard on pre-season and fitness, then they probably haven't done the big block of rugby that they would have needed to perform. That said, there were certain elements that they didn't quite get right. Their defence, which was absolutely impeccable in my opinion, at the Europeans where they qualified for the Olympics, that was probably a weakness this round. And hopefully, I mean, it's a hard one because that is organisation, it is fatigue, but it's also it's a mental thing for me. So it'd be interesting to see how they approach that.
It's such a mental thing, though. How much, if that's something that they are not at the level they need to be yet, how much more difficult would that have been when we know that defensive organisation is such a kind of top 2 inches thing, and it's not so much muscle memory. You have to be thinking and reacting. They were playing at extreme altitude, and your confusion up there is so much greater. It's not even like when you're playing in kind of oppressive heat. That thinner air is going to have a huge impact on decision making. Do you think that might have been a factor for them?
Are you saying this from experience? I mean, have you? are you...
Mate, I've made some terrible decisions on ski trips. Terrible decisions, and they've not always been during the ski, mainly during the après ski. But I can contest that altitude makes you do some silly things.
Oh, that's really tickled me. To be fair, we actually went over to the Alps before we went over to Rio and competed over there. I mean, it was perfect prep for going to Brazil. We were in, I mean, it was altitude training, but it was snow and blizzard, so not ideal. But I was confused. I did make a few errors because of the challenge. But yeah, I think from an English perspective, they've also got a new coaching team.
Yeah.
So they've got Charlie Hayter as their head coach, and he'll be bringing in different strategies and plays and organisation. Although he coached the girls last year that under James Bailey, it's a totally different ball game when you're the head coach, and there'll be certain things that you'll start being drip fed into the girls this season. I also bumped into James Rodwell this morning on his way to his job with Vitality, and I honestly noticed him because of the size of his feet. I was getting off the train and I looked and I thought, that man's got massive feet, and I looked and he's got ginger hair, and he's wearing
ginger.
An England rugby top. That is James Rodwell. So
incognito,
really nice
of Rodders, eh?
Yeah, I know, bless him. But he's had knee surgery, so he's coming back from that. And he said that he was coaching from over here.
He's not going to play, though, is he? This He's done now.
I don't know. He can't just keep taking his boots.
No, I think
he has. I think he has fully retired now. Just an absolute legend of the game. And
one of the funniest people in rugby as well.
Oh, he's honestly one of my favourite players, like, and on and off the field, because he actually, so in Rio, we had a bit of a rubbish time personally. I really struggled at times. I'd come back from my knee injury. I wasn't confident in my ability. I hadn't played enough. And yeah, I found it difficult. And coming fourth was heartbreaking. And the day after, no, 2 days after they'd played and they'd got their silver medal, in fact, when they had a night out, came back, and I'd been with my family and came back at the same time as all the boys arrived back. And he grabbed me and he took me into his room. And on his wall, he had these pictures painted by his son. And he got out, he'd locked his medal away and he showed me the medal. And it was honestly, it was so special. But we went to the athletics a couple of days after they'd competed. And it was the day we were all flying home.
Yeah.
And we were sat in the stadium and we were just chatting about, you know, rugby and the fact that we're both the same age and did I want to carry on and I wasn't in a great place. And he just basically turned around and said, it doesn't matter about your age. It doesn't matter about anything. It just matters whether you're enjoying it and whether you're performing. And actually, that was probably one of the conversations I needed to allow me to have the confidence to carry on playing and to transfer back into 15s. But little shout out. So we were sat there and we watched Usain Bolt run. That was really cool. And then Jess Ennis was competing. And I got my phone out as I was recording and I was like waving this GB flag. And as she was walking towards us, I got really embarrassed that I was filming her. Anyway, so I dropped my phone behind the flag at the moment that she waved to, it was me, Katie Daly McLean, and Rodders. And who else was there? There was someone else. Oh, Coops, who does video.
Yeah.
And she waved and she basically said, like, mouthed well done to Rodders for getting his medal. And honestly, so about literally, she walked around the corner and he, like, looked at me and was like, please tell me you filmed that. And I was like, no, I didn't.
Sorry, mate.
I felt so guilty. And it's really funny because as it's happening, the video shows me, like, dropping it behind the flag.
God.
Yeah, but how cool is that? Like, Jess Ennis.
I mean, be, like, be even cooler if there was a video of it.
I know. Anyway,
do you know what makes me laugh the most about Rodders now is that because he has like a team manager role with the boys, he has to go to like the team managers meetings, which are with the referees and stuff. And the referees have spent the past God knows how many years berating him on a rugby pitch, telling him to go away, stop getting involved in things. James Rodwell, this has got nothing to do with you. And now he's the one who gets sent to the team meetings with the refs. And I just,
it's like when you get to go into a staff room in a school.
Literally, that's literally what it is. It makes me laugh so much.
That's how I felt when I first started teaching. I remember walking in as a supply teacher to a couple of staff rooms and I was literally like I was been sent there as a naughty school kid. But in fact, I reckon I've gone into at least 50 different staff rooms across the country in schools.
Yeah.
And they're all the same. They really? All have the same shaped chairs. That could be a good tongue twister.
You say name for a band, same shaped chairs.
How can you say it and I can't? Anyway, smells of coffee.
Ew, coffee breath teachers. Yum.
Yeah, you've got their own places. You've got the science teachers in one corner.
Oh my God, I haven't told you this. I have to tell you something. So my best friend's a teacher, as is her husband, and the kids at his school created an Instagram meme account about the school. And obviously he couldn't request to join it, so I had to request to join it. And I didn't know any of the teachers that these kids were talking about, but I still laughed senseless at these memes because I just thought if I was a kid in high school today, that would be me. I'd be doing exactly the same thing.
Were you naughty at school?
Really naughty. Yeah, really bad.
Were you?
Yeah, I look back now. Do you know what? On Saturday, I was in Cardiff Athletic Club, and Hugh Williams, who was head of sixth form at Cowbridge when I was there, who's quite a good friend of our family as well, every day he would catch me, like, bunking off school. Every day. Because I was quite thick.
Why did you whisper that then?
I don't want
to hear
you.
He used to catch me, bunking off school.
But, like, it really, it's really hard, because, like, I always, like, think back, and I was such an idiot. Like, I thought I was so, like, I was basically the class clown. I wasn't bad. I was just funny, and I knew I was funny. So I spend most of my time trying to make other people laugh.
What happened?
Well, just, no, I was just bad in school.
Did you grow out of it?
On Saturday, he came up to me, and he was like, so proud of you. Love watching you on Scrum 5. And I was like, oh, I guarantee if you had said to that man, what, 13 years ago when I left school, what do you think that girl's going to do? He would not have said anything worthwhile.
Be successful. I was all right at school. I used to get like 100% attendance and stuff.
I lived on the same street that my school was on. I used to go home and watch Neighbours at lunchtime.
Oh,
and then
wow.
Just not come back.
I tell you, oh my God. So... before we go on to talking about anything other than random chat, I decided in year 11 that my mate would come up, who wasn't in school, would come at, like, I'd left school,
yeah,
would come, came and pick me up at lunchtime, and I decided that I wanted to dye my hair from blonde to purple. Now, when I said purple, I was kind of thinking like a dark, deep kind of plum type of colour.
Yeah.
I hadn't really thought about the fact that it was lunchtime, and I was like, oh no, I've got to go back to school. And I washed it off, and honest to God, it was like bright, bright, bright red. And I walked into school, and my the first person I saw was a head teacher, and he said, he looked at me and he said, you've got to be kidding, and Mr. Swan. And I was like, oh God. And he was like, that needs to change or you're leaving school. And I was like, oh God, okay. And we were like scurried off to afternoon registration, and like everyone was literally like, didn't know what to say, you know, and they're like, when you have your hair cut and then someone just says, you've had your hair cut, it means they don't like it, because they'd say your hair looks nice if they liked it.
Yeah.
Anyway, they said that they were like, oh God. Anyway, I got home, my mum went absolutely mental.
Yeah, I can't imagine Big Sue reacting well to that.
Yeah, the worst thing, my dad used to be head teacher at the school.
Oh, gosh.
And he'd actually retired and gone back as a maths teacher. My tutor group was next door to his, and so I had to like hide myself because I couldn't face my dad seeing me in public. So my dad didn't see me, but he heard from the head teacher that I'd done my hair.
Dabby.
And basically, exactly.
What a class.
Yeah. Anyway.
Is that one of those things that lives with you because it embarrassed you so much in school?
What's that?
Like that memory, is it one of those things that you like think about every day? I basically, when I was in sixth form, my English teacher was called Margaret Curtis, and I used to do like a really spot on impression of her. And she basically was really late to an afternoon lesson once, and we obviously assumed she wasn't coming. And I was sat in her desk pretending to be her for the rest of the class, like doing this impression. And everyone was like howling, laughing, and then kind of like it started to like dissipate the laughter. And I was like, right, okay, I'm obviously not being funny enough. So, like, really going for it with the impression to this silent room. And she was stood in the doorway behind me. And I think about that at least once a week.
Yeah, I mean, I think about some of the teachers I was actually quite mean to. Like, not in a bad way, but, you know, messing about and not listening. Especially now I teach, I'm like... God, I've got loads of stories about teaching, but I think we should save them for another day because there's so much other rugby to talk about.
What do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about World Cup or Tyrrells? Where should we go next?
I think we should go for Match Point.
Ah.
Because we haven't spoke about that yet.
I'm surprised again that you're bringing this up considering that you are terrible at it.
I'm beating you. It's round three and I'm winning.
No, I want to talk about it. Number one, round three isn't over yet, so don't count your chickens. Number two, you're still way behind me in the overall.
All right, but as Andrew Trimble said to Tom Shanklin, because we're all on the Guinness Legends League, sorry about that, it's the hare and the tortoise story, Laura Jane.
Yeah. I'm listening to your hare and tortoise story.
I'm just taking it slow. Letting people get into it, giving you fuel to give me banter, to promote the fact that we're doing it.
Oh, is that why? Oh, do you know what? You're such a, like, team player. In the overall, in the Tryhards League, you are in 88th position.
Two fat ladies?
I'm 23rd. And
I don't know what bingo call that is.
I don't think there is one. But we have to announce who won round two, because there's a round two winner, and that was Gareth Witts, who had three perfect scores.
Had his wits about him.
Oh.
Bet he hasn't heard that one before.
Gareth, when you listen to the pod, get in touch via social media, slide into our DMs, just like Charlie Cutting did in round one after his heroic performance. He actually still leads the overall. And you can claim your Tryhards prize.
Can we give some other shout-outs?
Yeah, let's.
Big Bad Bruce in second place.
Bruce Stoddart came second in round two. Great name.
And Matteo Martinelli, who is one of the Italian Fire Service team players, but he wasn't part of the tour. Okay. But a little shout-out across the water to my Italian friends who I asked, encouraged, told to join Match Pint, and they're all doing really well. And I keep getting little screenshots of them beating me, which I'm still like a proud mum when it comes to watching them and looking at their Instagram and stuff like that. I got sent a photograph of, I think, five of the players and also the physio from the weekend. And it's really nice to see them. And actually, although one of them, Bondo, he had his top off, and I managed to show the picture around most of the Wasps girls, who were all quite appreciative.
Oh, nice.
And I showed Giselle, and she was like, I was like, this is what happens when you coach Italian men. She was like, I knew I'd made the wrong decision coaching Wasps ladies. Oh, dear.
Well,
anyway.
Speaking of proud parents, my dad was ninth overall in round two, so he was pretty happy.
Go on, Nick boy.
The big thing is that we are obviously halfway through round three, but there is plenty more to come on Match Pints. So if you haven't signed up yet, you can still get involved and play Match Pints with us and win Tryhards prizes. And I tell you what, we're not just going to give out round winners prizes. At the end, we're going to pick people who have just given it like a good old effort.
Yeah. And also, there's some signed stuff that's going to be coming on the pod shortly, which is actually really cool. So
Keep
sign
an ear
up.
Out. Yeah.
And everyone is really, they keep saying to me, oh, I thought I couldn't sign up because it started. No. You can win stuff each round. Obviously, your overall score is going to be low unless you absolutely kill it. But yeah, you can win each round, and you can also win 3 points of Guinness. And actually, I claimed my free Guinness this weekend.
Where did you do it?
Down at Wasps.
Oh, and that brings us on ever so nicely to the Tyrrells Premier 15s.
I know, but before we talk about the rugby,
yeah,
just want to say I gifted a Guinness to Ollie Bishop, who is the second team coach, and all round complete tryhard. Big shout out to Ollie, and we enjoyed a Guinness together, which was great.
Lovely for Ollie Bish. What was it like down at Wasps on Saturday?
Yeah, it was cool, actually. It's
they
the first
hosted
time
DMP.
It's the first game I've been able to get to, having been working the last couple of weekends, commentating. But no, it was really cool. And to be fair, DMP much improved from last year, which was brilliant. Great to catch up with Tamara Taylor. As last time I saw her, I was a little bit worse for wear from her testimonial. there was a little gathering of Barbarians players, Heather Kerr. It was really nice to see all the girls, and it was a good game of rugby. And then we followed it by going to Putt Shack. I was the only one that was in normal clothes. Everyone was told that they should wear Wasp stuff.
Yeah.
And the girls were taking the mick out of me. In fact, I arrived at the club. Giselle was like looking at me, and I was like, hi, Giselle. And she was like, was looking at me, and I was like, it's Nolly. And she was like, oh, hi.
Oh my God.
Who I used to give a lift to 3 times a week. She looks after Koya, know her really well, great friend, didn't recognise me after the game. Another friend and player, Emily, she said that she loved my outfit and I looked like I was doing an autumn-winter collection photo shoot, I think for CNA. But, basically no one recognised me because I bothered to do my hair.
And you've been using face cream?
Yeah, my new Kiehl's face cream. But everyone was like looking at me like, wow. I was like, do I really look that awful whenever I come to rugby club that no one can recognise me when I'm in jeans, a jumper and with my hair down?
It's horrible.
Anyway.
Right? The worst is when people, I always find if I haven't seen someone for a while, they say, have you lost weight? And I was saying, no, you just obviously remember me really fat. People like think of me as plump, so but obviously like plumper than I am. So when they see me, it's like a pleasant surprise. I'm not this like absolute.
Well, it's better
beast.
That way around.
Is
it's
it
better that way around? Yeah.
I no,
think
I don't
so.
Want people thinking of me as like Mrs. Potts from bloody Beauty and the Beast. Cuddly.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Anyway,
what about the rest of the Tyrrells? Saracens had they snatched a victory from the jaws of defeat.
I know, against Loughborough. And to be fair, what was the final score? 24-28.
Yeah.
Fair play to Saris. And you know, when they say winning is a habit, they definitely know how to win. And they've come back from games that they 100% shouldn't have won. I haven't seen the game. I've seen some of the tries. And looking at the reaction from their Twitter and the players' social media, I think they were pretty surprised that they won that game. I think it shows that they're a club that knows how to win, and you've got to see them off. If you keep them in the game, then they're going to play for the full 80. Another team doing well. Bristol beat Waterloo up there.
36-0.
Yeah. And actually, talking about Bristol, the first coverage is going to be online coverage is going to be Bristol Wasps next weekend, which I'm pretty happy about because I've got to work, so I'm not going to be at the game. So yeah, so I get to watch it online, which is great.
Days.
Shaftesbury Avenue. So that's cool. So tune into that. Quins beat Gloucester quite comfortably, actually, 39-12. And also, we talked last week about the fact that Richmond hadn't got a point and they beat Worcester 35-8.
Yeah, great to see that because a horrible, torrid start to the season for them.
It's a little bit harsh, Quins and then Sarries. But
yeah.
I had a good catch up with Vicky Jackson, or Jacko to her mates.
What do you call her then?
Mad Pepper Army, because she's like the way when she's literally like, she's so fun. She played at Wasps my first season there. This is her second season at Richmond. Basically, Jacko for years was Wacko Jacko, like crazy bonkers on and off the field, wicked girl, like real good fun. Has got an England cap, which is cool. Plays in the centre, and but she, when I arrived at Wasps, I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. Jacko's here. She's nuts. And Jacko was like, came quietly over to me. I was like, mate, they don't know me as that player. Can you not spread it? And I was like, Jacko, you're nuts. And she was like laughing, and she had a proper glint in her eye. And it wasn't until I was there that it brought out the like craziness in her again and reminded her of how she always was. So she's like the crazy Pepper Army, you know, that like bites their own arm off. She's a tall, good player. I bet you eat Pepper Armies, don't you?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Oh, they're rank. But yeah, so
mate,
Jacko,
you only can eat like the gristly bit of chicken. Like, you need to grow up.
Grow up. Anyway, I was having a chat with her and talking to her about how she felt that Richmond were doing, because obviously from our perspective, we were looking at like the loss and how they'd been absolutely smashed. They hadn't scored. So I was interested to see how she felt as a senior player who captained the side last year. And she basically said that like they knew it was going to be tough as a team. And they also recognised that they could have done better and should have done better in certain aspects. But one thing that she spoke a lot about was the fact that she's got massive confidence in their coaching setup.
Oh, nice.
And which I was like obviously got her to explain. And she just said that from the two games, they recognised like key areas that they needed to work on and improve. And then they put it into practice and they made sessions fun but like with a real purpose. And then on the weekend, this weekend against Worcester, they'd really improved. And she said from that perspective, she said, like, look, we know we're not going to win the Premiership, but what we want to do is be competitive in the league. Yeah. And we want to enjoy our rugby and we want to have a good laugh together as a squad and, like, go on a bit of a journey. And actually, I think it's quite a fascinating way of looking at it as a senior player, that those losses can build confidence
Absolutely.
In your setup, because she's like, we needed to work on our defence and certain aspects of a defence. She said, don't get me wrong, we've still got a long way to go, but the coaches implemented certain aspects in training and then we saw it come to fruition when we played Worcester. And she's like, and that's all you can ask. And actually, she said it also gave her confidence in the team that they were coachable, because as much as you've got a coach and a coaching group that might have great ideas, fundamentally the players have also got to pick it up and they've got to implement
they've
it when it comes to match day.
They've got to understand rugby as well, which seems like an obvious thing, but yeah, it's this thing about how long certain people have been playing rugby and stuff, and you won't always have that. You are going to have a disparity in rugby minds on any team, men's, women's, kids, anything.
Yeah, and they haven't got like a really experienced side, and they've got quite a lot of younger players. But I just think it was nice of her to share that and also be so open and honest about it. But it'll be interesting to see how Richmond do play throughout the year, and whether they can keep that strength of mind as they start coming up against the other teams. Because obviously, if you're facing the two top teams in the league that haven't dropped a point yet, it's a very different story to play in middle of the table when not doing that well. So, yeah, well done to Richmond for getting some points on the board. I look forward to the games next week. I think Bristol Wasps is the one to watch, to be honest.
And it'll be at a good time as well, because it'll be Rugby World Cup in the morning, and then you can watch that online afterwards. So that brings us neatly to the Rugby World Cup.
Indeed. And Japan, Samoa, Japan lighting up another stadium. Oh my God, Miles Harrison as lead commentator was absolutely epic.
So good.
He was so good calling that game alongside Shane Williams. I loved it. And the fact that it was another one of those moments that, of course, Japan were going to get a try bonus point in the final part of the game. And we spoke
I did
about
start
rugby
to
gods
feel
last
like Yakko Paper was going to keep that game going though until they'd got the BP. It's like, go on, jouez, jouez, 5 more minutes.
And the god of rugby comes in many different ways. Sometimes it's a referee, sometimes yeah. it's the weather.
Wow,
sometimes
for Scotland, it could be the weather this week. That typhoon could do some very interesting, very interesting things to this Rugby World
so
Cup.
So, you told me earlier that if the game is cancelled because of the weather, it's down as a 0-0 draw.
Correct.
Is that right?
That is correct. That's what it'll go down to. So, World Rugby have released a statement at this stage. So, we're recording this Monday evening. And the statement says that they foresee two games being affected. So, the way that the typhoon looks like it's going to hit is Kyushu, which is the south part of Japan. And the two games that look set to be affected are Wales-Uruguay, which is the last game in that pool, and Ireland versus Samoa, which is the last game for Ireland in that pool. Now, if Wales play Fiji on Wednesday morning, if Wales get 5 match points from that game, it wouldn't matter if they played Uruguay or not. They'd still top the group, even if they and Australia are both on 16 points, because their head-to-head would be better. Wales's would be. However,
so it goes on the heads to head.
It would go on head to head. If you are joint, if you're joint on match points, which if Wales got 5 match points against Fiji, a bonus point win, they would both be on 16 points, assuming that Australia will get 5 match points from the Georgia game, which I think is a pretty safe assumption, meaning no disrespect to Georgia.
Which
so,
I'm commentating on. Tune in.
Exactly.
On Friday,
11
o'clock.
So, if they both end up on 16 match points, Wales, by virtue of beating Australia, would go through as top of the group.
Okay.
Regardless
right.
of playing the Uruguay game. In Pool A, which is the hosts group, as it stands, Japan are topping the group. If Scotland were to beat Japan and the Ireland game was recorded as a no-score draw, Ireland would be out of the World Cup.
What?
Yeah, because they basically would have fewer match points.
Match points or match pints?
match points. So,
ooh,
yeah.
Oh, controversial.
But, oh, I really don't want to say this on the pod.
What?
So, if that weather looks like it's going to come in, don't predict a score for that game on match pints. Put it as a draw, because then you'll get, like, maximum points. Just remember to do that before the game.
Oh, good tip for the listeners.
I really hope Ollie's not listening, because he'll find a loophole. But yeah, so that there's obviously talk that, well, they'll move the game and things like that. But the reality is, if they're going to have to postpone a game or cancel a game because the weather's bad, they won't be able to move the team. And this is one thing that we all know that geography is not my strong point, as discussed last week on the pod, but Japan is massive. And I certainly didn't know that until I went to Japan. It is a vast, vast country. So
it's not quite as big as Russia, is it? Let's be honest. But
No, but we're not playing the World Cup there.
I mean, it's not that big, is it, really?
Yeah, you're flying between places in Japan.
But you'd fly between places in England.
I don't think many people flew between World Cup.
If there was one in Exeter and one in Newcastle, you'd fly.
Did any team play games in both of those places during the...
No, but I'm talking about size. I'm not talking
about...
No,
but during the Rugby World Cup, so Pool A was England, Wales, Australia, Fiji, and...
Are you bringing this up because you guys went through and we didn't?
No, but I'm just saying that the games played in Twickenham, Cardiff, so no one was flying. I guarantee Australia and Wales didn't get on an aeroplane during that World Cup.
Oh, all right. Okay,
I'm just saying. No, I'm just saying. But in terms... I just, you know, I'm just trying to prove that sometimes geography...
Should we talk, instead of doing a geography lesson, because you, let's be honest, you're pretty awful, I'm probably worse. Should we talk about some rugby?
Yeah.
France, Tonga.
I mean, first half France, they should just be called like first half France. I really like first half France. I don't like full match France. I don't get it.
Yeah, no. I mean, when they're in Broken Field and some of their tries, they're absolutely incredible. Their offloading, their ability to keep the ball alive is brilliant. But when you're up against a team that's organised in defence, that's going to come and smash you, I can't see them. I can see some like magical moments against England, but I can't see them lasting 80 minutes. Mm. And if it's on your theory, then first half France will be okay, but second half won't be. But I think, I mean, you could see how frustrated they got in the second half when they got two tries disallowed, and they would have been good tries if they'd been called. There was one player that really, for me, didn't play well, didn't produce the goods at all, and he looked a bit bored actually in the game, was Entomac, which is strange because I think he's a really good player. But one of the stats that I didn't realise was the fact that that's the third halfback pairing and
at this World Cup.
That is the players that manage the tempo of the game, where you play the game, the calls, the structure. And I can't see them going with the same pairing this weekend.
But ironically, that's as much as that is mental to do that, that's what France do. If you look at how many different halfback combinations they've had in this World Cup cycle alone in this past 4 years, it is absolutely baffling.
Well, to be fair, at least they're picking people that actually play 9 and 10 rather than fullbacks at 10 and 9s at 15 or whatever it might be. But, I don't think that they're going to... I think they're going to challenge England. I think it'll be a good game for England. I don't think England have played that well, as probably agreed with most people, but they are producing performances that are winning games comfortably. I still stand by, and this is a tough one because George Ford has played some stupendous rugby this World Cup. He has been on brilliant form, but I still feel that you don't get the best of Owen Farrell when he's at 12. I don't think you do, and I personally think that Owen Farrell playing really, really well and is at the top level as George Ford. So if you put George Ford's best rugby, Owen Farrell's best rugby, I like to watch George Ford's rugby, but actually Owen Farrell for me brings the best out in England, and he brings the best out in those players around him. Look how many Saracens players are in that team. Look how Saracens play. They absolutely spank teams week in, week out, and that's with him at 10. And I just feel that, I suppose, that the missing link at the moment is Henry Slade, because if you've got Ford Farrell, you've got two distributors, and I agree with that. But if you've got Farrell, Tuolangi, Slade, you've got the distributors with Farrell and Slade. So there you go. That's what I think. But
we're about to hit knockout rugby though, and one thing that England couldn't get right, Farrell couldn't get his eye in, and
did it fall out?
you have to be able to keep the scoreboard ticking over, and you have to have a kicker with a high percentage. And
but I questioned, and this is, I don't know whether you've done this on purpose, but I tweeted and got a lot of replies actually on the back of, and I'm not talking about the tweet about men wearing lycras in training, I'm not talking about that, I'm talking about Owen Farrell's the red card against Lavanini, red card. If you actually look at his technique, it's actually really bad technique. He leads with his shoulder a lot. He shoulder barged in the Tonga game. his history, if you Google him, there's a lot of slingshots.
He's got more red cards than any international player ever.
But if you watch what his technique, so he wraps with his right arm, he hits with his left shoulder. So he wraps with his right arm, but then he slingshots his arm around, which actually is basically a shoulder barge.
Yeah.
Because, and it's similar technique to that which was questioned with Owen Farrell, that like slingshot arm. Anyway, I can't believe that impact didn't need an HIA. I can't get my head around the fact that any impact, like I have seen players just, you know, hit the floor or hit different things without the velocity of a 6 foot, probably 4 or 5 man shoulder hitting him. And someone saying that a medic went on and spoke to him, I'm sorry, but it's not 2010.
Yeah.
It's 2019 and there are protocols in place to take players off the field because concussion symptoms happen in lots of different ways.
Yeah.
The reason why an HIA test has a balance, a proprioception, a coordination, a memory aspect, because your brain function gets hit in different ways.
Yeah.
And I just think that that was a really strange call that a medic didn't take him off the field to do it because it's there for a reason. And did he miss those kicks because of it? I don't know. I don't know. There's loads of like speculation around that. And he probably was okay. You know, he lasted the rest of the game.
But he should have been checked.
Yeah. And I just think when it's kind of like the week last week when we were talking about the shoulder barge and the game I commentated on with Argentina Tonga, they've got the technology to use with the TMO and the different camera angles. Why not use it? If you've got an HIA and a collision like that and they've got a protocol,
they do.
That's
what Hawkeye are doing. So that's why I'm confused. So Hawkeye are there pitch side with an independent doctor. So that's where I'm confused that didn't come on. And then at that point, who... do we have a mistrust of medics and stuff like that? And it is a really difficult one, and it's...
I'm just surprised because it was such a big collision and it was straight on his face or slash jaw. You know, what's interesting, when I got my concussion in the semi-final of the World Cup, I hit my jaw, I stumbled a few times. I got to my knee. As soon as I got to the floor, I was all right. And I jogged off the field and I sat in the... in the medical room, and Fee Farmacilli was being HIA tested from the game before. So I was sat in there, obviously I was like, right, let's go. The doctor said, just sit there, we'll be good. And then they had all of the screens up in that medical room and they were reviewing, I reckon, about 11 different camera angles of me, maybe not that many, maybe seven, in slow motion of exactly what happened. And like, so I know the detail. I've watched them do it. And they deemed me as concussed because I had ataxia, which is stumbling, and so they wouldn't even do an HIA. Now, if they'd done an HIA then and there, I'm sure I would have passed it, but there's a technology there to check and to double check and to make sure that I'm okay. And it's just, I suppose it's just for player welfare. That's all that I care about in terms of, you know, those high shots are being stamped out by World Rugby because of the risk of injury to someone's head. Now, we don't want that in the sport, so we need to protect people, and it's just making sure that people are protected. And, you know, I'm pleased that Owen Farrell is fine, but it's just, you know, maybe something that was overlooked that shouldn't have. I don't know.
Fair enough. Another injury in the England ranks. Billy Vunipola, they haven't kind of said the severity of it yet, if it is an issue, if he is going to sit out France. If it is something serious that's going to require a bit more time, how much of a loss is he to England?
You know what? I actually don't think that it will be really as catastrophic as everyone's making out, because he hasn't played as well as he normally does. I think he plays better. Speaking about this with some of the guys at the weekend, he plays better when he's alongside Mako, his brother, because they share the workload, they offload to each other, they read each other, they know each other like inside out as players. I don't think it would be a bad thing to rest him anyway, because if you get to knockout rugby and you haven't played anyone else there, that's always a risk. So yeah, I think Mark Wilson is a superb rugby player. He proved himself when Billy was injured at the beginning of the season, and I can't see why he wouldn't get another nod if Billy isn't right. But
well, talking of back row rotation, Wales play Fiji on Wednesday, and James Davis is starting for Wales. So he and his brother will become the first set of brothers to play for Wales at a World Cup since 1999. I love the fam. Did you see his press conference?
I didn't see his press conference. I saw Warren Gatlin, and he spoke about. Did you see that?
Yeah.
You've seen the light. Yeah.
So they put Fox and Cubby up together for press conference today, and they asked John about what it means to play as brothers. He said, obviously mum and dad are over here and all this kind of thing, and gave quite a long answer and the detail that journalists want. And then somebody else in the press conference went, and you, James? And James went, what he said. That's all he gave. So default into Big Brother. But I did see another quote from him that said, mum and dad had booked to come out here anyway because they knew that John would be in the squad. So they've got two for one.
Aww.
I like that. So it's really sweet.
Yeah, could you imagine? That's like a super proud moment, isn't it?
Well, but especially if you are Julie, their mum, who has had to deal with her son coming back from Vegas with his nickname tattooed across his knuckles. Like, at least now you can, winning an Olympic medal probably went some way for him to kind of repair that. But, represententing his country at a World Cup alongside his brother is pretty cool.
So, talking about parents actually being proud. So after Katarina Johnson-Thompson won her gold medal.
Yeah.
Jessica Innes Hill was talking about, do you reckon they have to be double barreled names to be successful? No, just Denise Lewis, that's fine. So she was talking about
Jessica Ennis wasn't always double barreled.
No, I know. I was joking, God. She was talking about Katarina seeing her mum after and talking about her mum being really proud of her winning.
Yeah.
And that now she is a mum. Now Jess Ennis is a mum. She was talking about how when her children do anything, she's like the most proudest person ever, and that for Kat's mum to have a world champion daughter just must be the most special thing. And it was really such an innocent and honest interview and answer, because I felt like looking at her thinking, you're an Olympic champion. You were the poster girl of your country in a home Olympic Games.
Yeah.
You're a double world champion. You are an incredible ambassador for the sport. And yet she's talking so honestly about someone else's mum. And I just think it was really cool. And I think mums was the theme, wasn't it?
Shelley-Ann Fraser-Pryce won her gold as well, didn't she?
I think there was someone tweeted, I think four mums had won gold or medalled over the weekend. And I just think it's so brilliant because obviously we've got a great ambassador with Niall Williams having two girls in the sevens with the Black Ferns. And there are other mums that are playing rugby, of course. But I just think it is incredible because Shelley-Ann Fraser-Pryce, her... another double barrel. Maybe if I became something, I need to get married first. When I damn it, I can't just choose another.
What was Sue's maiden name?
Alexander Waterman.
Yeah, it's very Scottish, isn't it?
Danielle Alexander Waterman. I mean, now I don't think it flows very well. Anyway, but I think we also need to give a shout out. We had a tweet, didn't we?
We have many tweets on the pod. What tweet are you referring to?
I'm just pulling it up now.
Oh, you've prepared so well for this.
Well, no, I thought you would because you've actually replied. Basically, what a story and what a remarkable moment. Thank you here to Yorkshire Rugby Union because West Park Ladies, Anne Colfax played and came off the bench and put in her first performance and first team debut at 48 years old.
That is very impressive.
Absolutely epic.
What's it like to hear a woman 2 years younger than you is making her rugby debut?
Right, I need to correct that. It's actually Anne McGraffin. So Anne McGraffin, congratulations. It's given me hope that I might dust off my boots in a few years' time. I very much doubt it. But congratulations on your first team call-up. Awesome work.
On that note, shall we leave that there so you can get down the gym and, you know, just get yourself back in shape?
I actually did some training yesterday. I decided to do bench press. Now, I haven't done bench press for about 7 or 8 months because of a slight problem I've had with my my rib and my shoulder. But I decided to just go up to body weight. Now, it's quite impressive for someone that hasn't done it for a while. However, I can't really lift up my arms or use my arms to ride today. But anyway, on that note, I'm going to keep training hard. I want to be a bit more like Anne. And enjoy the rest of your week, tryhards.
Bye, tryhards.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.